Good morning again. So we're starting a new sermon series today, and the theme for the next several weeks will be the phrase, one another, one another. In the New Testament of the Bible, there are 100 instances of writers using that phrase, one another. From Paul to Peter to Jesus himself, there are many instructions about how we are to live and care for one another in Christian community. There's a vast amount of spiritual teaching in the Bible about one anothering. Those scriptures paint a picture of what our life together, our communal life should and could look like. And so they really describe the flavor of living in meaningful relationships with one another. So for the next 9 weeks, we're going to talk about a different one another from scripture, okay? Things like pray for one another, encourage one another, forgive one another, and spur one another on. Out of those 100 times, fun fact here, out of those 100 times, 4 of them, though, refer to kissing one another. We will not be using one of those in the 9 weeks, just so you know. Okay, so this week, I want to get us started by talking about the high-level concept, and I'll do so by using a high-level one another, which is love one another. That's our theme for today. Everybody, like, look to your neighbor and say, love one another. Can you do that now? Go for it. Good. See, now you won't forget that that's what we're talking. Love one another is the theme today. Okay, the scripture that we're going to use is a really important one. It's taken from John 13. And in John 13, Jesus is sitting down with his disciples for one last time. The context of John 13 is that Jesus is sitting at the table, the Last Supper, the washing of the feet. And Jesus knows that as soon as he gets up from this meal with his disciples, that he is going to go to the garden and he's going to go to face his arrest and his death. So in this last private moment with his followers before his death, he shares with them this message, this teaching. A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Love one another. So I want to talk about three different things. The first question that I want to answer is, who is the focus of that love that we're supposed to have? Who is the focus? Who is the recipient of that love? Who is our love for? The phrase is love one another. So who is the love for? This is not a trick question. The answer is one another. We are called, we are invited to love one another. The love that Jesus is calling for us to do, for loving one another, is by Christians, for Christians. The love that Jesus is calling us to in this passage is by Christians, for Christians. Take this story, for instance. Who is Jesus talking to in this actual story? It's not an instance where Jesus is standing out in a large crowd preaching to believers and non-believers alike. Jesus is talking to his most committed followers, his 11 disciples. You could even go so far as to make the case that Jesus waited until, did you see the very first line, was that Judas had just left the room. You could go so far if you wanted to say that Jesus essentially was saying, like, okay, now that he's gone, love one another. You deep followers of mine, will you love one another? This love is by Christians, for Christians. Now, maybe there's some alarm bells going off in your mind already, and you're like, hold on, Dean, aren't we, like, supposed to love all people? And the answer is absolutely, of course. I hope that you know that loving people into the kingdom of God is like the heartbeat of this church. We talk about it all the time. It's deeply important for us to love those outside of the faith. Jesus makes that, like, explicitly clear in so many passages of scripture, like the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. Just on and on and on. Jesus makes it abundantly clear that we need to love people who are not in the household of faith. But this command, this one from John 13, was given by Jesus as a special directive to love one another. Jesus here is emphasizing our love for one another. Again, we can and do spend a lot of time talking in this church about how to love people outside of these walls, people who are not sitting in this room with us today, people who we know and love that are far from God. We talk about that a lot, and we're not going to stop talking about it. But this message today and this series, this 9-week series, is unashamedly about how we are called to treat one another, our brothers and sisters in the faith, and our fellow Christ Church missionaries, you know, the people who we actually are with at church. We need this series, everybody, I think. For a thousand reasons, we need to revisit what it means to love one another as Christians. I will not give you 1,000 reasons, but I will give you 3 very quickly. One is a practical reason. You know, like, our culture is set up very differently than Jesus and the disciples. You know, like, Jesus and the disciples were together all the time. Like, they, like, ate together and ministered together. They, like, walked the roads together. They were together all the time. And our culture is just not set up that way. You know, like, it's much harder for us to live in close community. Like, it's a special treat if we run into someone from church at the grocery store, isn't it? It's like, wow, I wasn't expecting that, you know? But, like, in Jesus' day, it was like all of those relationships were so enmeshed. And ours just aren't. So it means that we need to try a little harder to love one another well. You're going to see throughout this series how active love is. So love isn't just this simple idea of like, well, are you cool with everybody at church? And it's like, well, yeah, they're fine. You know, it's like, no, that's not the vision that Jesus is casting for loving one another. It's much more active. And so Jesus and the disciples had many, many more opportunities to either fail or succeed at loving one another. They're just with each other all the time. And our lives aren't like that. That's why, for instance, we have life groups and things like that to try to, like, intentionally create opportunities for us to, like, study scripture and pray together and, like, love one another well, okay? So the first reason why we need it is practical. The second is that we are in a kind of a unique season of, I think, of division. Now, look, I know that there's a lot of division, like, outside of these walls, but if you think that there's no division inside the church walls, then, like, I'm sorry, but I think you're kidding yourself. You know, like, if you think that everyone that you sit next to at church thinks and believes and lives all the same ways that you do, then I just think that's probably a little misguided. Like, there's a lot of diversity among us. You know, maybe if you were a Christian 50 years ago and you were sitting in the church pew, like, there wasn't as much diversity. It really was. Like, everybody kind of thought the same and, like, lived the same. Like, there was just a lot of uniformity. But that is not the world in which we live in. There's more division and diversity. Now, I treasure a lot of that diversity among us. I'm glad that we're not just, like, a homogenous group here at Christ Church Mission. But it means it requires us to love one another well when we don't all think and feel the same way about all the things. Okay? So that's another reason why we need it. Thirdly, even more specific to, like, our church, which is that we just have, like, lots of little obstacles to loving one another right now. For instance, one is we just came out of we're still kind of in a pandemic, you know? And that's, like, created a lot of isolation for us as members of this church. Some of us are worshiping on the live stream this morning. You know, like, they're a part of our family, but they are not even physically present with us. What's up, live stream folks? You know, it's just like, it's great, but it's like, it's a small obstacle to trying to build real community, you know? Our church has grown. So we have, like, new people, and we have, like, people that have been around a long time, and we're like, and those people don't all know each other, and they're trying to get to know each other, and so, all that to say, our church, our even little Christ Church Mission, we have 2 services. We didn't used to have 2. It's just a thousand little things that make it a little bit challenging to love each other really well. Loving one another might seem like a good idea for many of us, but there are so many challenges that I'm sure some of you are like, Dean, this is just kind of far-fetched, isn't it? Like, I'll try to get along with everyone, but what more do you want? what I want is what Jesus wants, is for us to like try to really practice loving one another well. Our actual brothers and sisters in the faith, the real people in this room, that is who we, who the love is for, that Jesus is talking about in John 13. Okay, let's talk about the second sermon point, is the impact of the love. What is the impact of our loving one another? Well, in this short little teaching, Jesus tells us that if we are really successful at loving one another, then something will happen. He says, if you love one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples. If we are successful in loving one another, then those outside of the family of God will see the amazing care that we have for one another. And it will be notable to them, and they will ponder the quality of our communal life. Isn't that amazing? It's like such a cool concept and theory that our love for one another would be so extravagant and countercultural that people who aren't a part of this church would see it and be like, wow, that church really loves one another. This, by the way, we have record of this like actually happening. Like maybe one of the oldest examples that we have comes from this ancient text written by Tertullian in the summer of the year 197 AD. 197. Tertullian lived in the city of Rome, and he writes describing the way that Christians were perceived in that city. This is what he says. It's mainly the deeds of love, so noble, that lead many to put a brand on us. See, they say, how they love one another. Christians in Rome in 197 AD had this crazy reputation for loving each other so well. Now, in our modern world, and on a large scale, I think we have a long way to go on that. Like, I don't think if you were to poll the average person that they would say that Christians are known for loving one another really well. So we have some work to do on that, but I think that that work can start on a micro scale, meaning like I would love for our love together at this church to be so compelling that people who aren't a part of our church would be like, oh my gosh, that Christchurch mission, man, those people love one another. Jesus shows us in this teaching that in addition to our direct efforts at loving people and reaching people outside of our walls, that we can have an indirect impact on those people by loving each other well. An indirect impact by our thoughtful, intentional, active love for one another. Okay? There's another group of people, though, for whom our love for each other is a testimony and a reminder. Jesus doesn't just say, you might notice, he doesn't say, when you love one another well, those people outside will know that you're my disciples. He said, when you love each other well, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Everyone. And I want to make the case that that everyone includes us. That our love for one another is a reminder to us that we are his disciples. It's in loving one another that we will know that we are his disciples. Don't we all have moments of doubt? And I'm not even primarily talking here about doubts about like who God is or something, although we have those too, but doubts about our place in the faith. Like, don't we all sometimes ask the question like, man, am I really a Christian? You know, like, is this really my tribe? Is this... Do I belong here? Am I really a part of God's family? Well, it is through our one another love that we are all reminded and assured of our place in the kingdom of God. Amen? I usually do amen at the end of the sermon, but I'm putting it in the middle today, okay? It is through our one another love that we are reminded and assured of our place in God's family. When we are loved and when we are loving one another well, it reminds us, it assures us beyond a shadow that we are members of God's family, people of His kingdom. Give yourself to the love of your Christian family here at the church. Let the love of your brother and sister assure you of your place in God's family. It will do that. Your love, the love that you receive from your brother and sister Christian, will assure you of your place. Not because it's just going to give you like a case of the warm fuzzies, but because when you are loved truly by your brother and sister Christian, it is the love of Jesus Christ mediated to you through them. It's one of the primary ways that we receive Christ's love, is through our brothers and sisters. It's God's love coming to you. Okay, let me do the last point. The last question that I want to answer is like, what is the nature of the love that we are called to give one another? What's the nature of it? What's the essence of it? What should our love look like? Well, in many respects, for the next several weeks, that's what I'm going to be unpacking. As we look at a different one another each week, I'm going to be kind of hashing that out. So when Peter says, be hospitable to one another, what he is essentially saying is, this is one of the ways that you love one another, is by being hospitable to each other. When Paul says, bear one another's burdens, or when the writer of Hebrews says, spur one another on, essentially what they are saying is, this is how you love one another. This is what that love should look like. I chose as one of the readings this morning that 1 Corinthians 13 passage, the love chapter. You know the last time you heard that passage? It was at a wedding, probably. Like, that's where we typically hear that passage. And that's great. Does it have things to teach us about loving our spouse well? Absolutely. Here's the thing. That's not at all what Paul had in mind when he wrote that chapter of the Bible. That's not at all what he had in mind. That's 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 12, the chapter before it, is all about the body of Christ, how Christians should like function together. That's the chapter before. Then there's 13. Then 14 is all about how we should, as Christians, conduct ourselves in worship. Okay? So like, 1 Corinthians 13 is jammed between two passages that are all about the church, about Christians, and how they should live together. And so 1 Corinthians 13, sure, it has great things to teach us about our marriage, but that chapter was written for the church. That chapter was written to teach Christians how to love one another well. So it doesn't just apply to your spouse. It applies to the people that are sitting in the room with you. Is that the nature of our love? 1 Corinthians 13, yes, but there's more. I want to go back to that John passage for just a second. When Jesus starts that sentence, he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. A new command, Jesus says. This is new, apparently. Well, love wasn't a new concept. Jesus didn't invent loving one another that day, sitting around the table with his followers. So what is new here? It's not the love that is new. It's the qualifier that is new. Love one another as I have loved you. That is the new part. What is the nature of our love for one another? It's the nature of Christ's love for us. That's the nature of our love for one another. Self-giving, sacrificial, all the way love. Now, I understand, y'all, that I just took the bar of loving one another that was already too high to jump and escalated it exponentially. I understand that. How in the world can we love each other the way that Jesus loves us? How can I be expected to love you guys the way that Christ loves me? Well, that's what we're going to be working on in the weeks to come. But let's first fix our hearts on His love for us. Christ's love for you is what's new. That's what's new. There is nothing like it. It shatters all convention. It sent him to his death for us. And his love is a model for us to love one another well. And we might not reflect that love very well most of the time. We might be pretty poor at it. But let's practice moving in that direction. Like holding Christ's love for us in our hearts as we practice loving one another well. Amen? All right.